Located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone on this celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord. We're glad to be together, blessed to have the fellowship that we have, and amazed by our Lord Jesus today as we see him in the text shining like light. Have you ever asked yourself the question, though, how is the Transfiguration helpful? What does it mean? And can it help me? That's what we're going to talk about today in our service during the sermon. And we're glad that you made it. I welcome those that are tuned in on the radio as well. Thanks for joining us that way. Our opening hymn and our processional hymn is hymn 414 in your hymnal. It's also printed in your bulletin, which makes it easier when you stand for the processional. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, a hymn inspired by Peter's sentiment in the text at the Transfiguration up on the Mount. So we'll sing together our hymn, and if you're able, please stand and turn and face the cross for our procession.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways,
to the glory
of your holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We continue now with our responsive introit from Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake.
The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples.
Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he.
The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and
righteousness. Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Oh God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King and his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today on the transfiguration of our Lord comes from Exodus, the 24th chapter. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up for our children's sermon. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
How are you? Good. Can you think of a time when somebody in life, think of all the experiences that you have had and the things that you've heard about, when somebody would wear a veil over their face?
A wedding.
A wedding. Good job. At a wedding, often, not always, but often, traditionally, the bride wears a veil over her face, right? And that's, well, that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about, right? So, did you hear the story from Exodus that I just read? Yeah?
No.
Okay, well, that's honest and awesome. So, Moses went up on the mountain to be with God. Did you hear that? Yeah. And the people that stayed down below, to them it looked like a devouring fire was up on top of the mountain, right? But Moses went up into the cloud because God called him to go up there. And so he went up there and he spent 40 days and 40 nights with God. And you know what? When Moses came down from that mountain, do you know what was going on with his face? His face had changed. Did you know that?
No.
Well, his face was shining like light when he came down off the mountain. Yeah, so much so that he had to wear a veil. Right? So the veil in a wedding, you asked why. This is the idea of the beauty of the bride, right? Kept only for the husband. Okay? With Moses, It was the glory of God that he had to veil before the people. Because when he lifted up his veil, his face was like shining like light. And it was that way because he'd been with God. Okay? In just a little while, you know, when you're with God, it changes things. Yeah. In just a little while, you're going to hear the reason in the gospel reading. So I want you to listen real close to the gospel reading, because you're going to hear the reason and why Moses' face was shining, because it was pointing to somebody else whose face was going to shine too.
God.
Right. So when we get to the gospel reading, I want you to listen real close so you hear the answer to that, okay? Yeah, Danica. Well, because in a marriage, the husband and the wife are only for each other, right? And so that's an image of that, okay? Yeah.
But what if when they put that thing on his face, it would just shine through and something would happen to the cross?
That's interesting, isn't it? I don't know about that, actually. But I do know that it kind of shielded it some, yeah. Would you guys fold your hands and bow your heads and close your eyes? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your glory made Moses' face shine and brings forgiveness and life to us. Help us to listen to the gospel today, to hear the reason that Moses' face was shining. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys for coming up. Oh, Joseph forgot his truck, Charlotte. Great. There, thank you. Our epistle lesson for today from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received the honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Our sermon hymn for today is hymn 435, "Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain." Let's sing. You know the phrase that I often begin with, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And one of the things I was able to attend this last week at the modules and the training, they reminded us that the epistle of 1 Corinthians, the epistle of Philippians, and many other epistles begin with some that benediction and also end with a similar benediction. So each time we hear from Paul's epistles or even Peter's, it's always couched in this idea of grace to you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. This is how God comes to us today in his Son Jesus Christ, in grace, mercy, and peace. Despite how we often think he comes, which is criticism or judgment is often how we conclude, but it's not the case. So, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Imagine if someone put you in charge. Are you used to being in charge? Some people are. Some people aren't. But imagine someone put you in charge, and they put you in charge of a building project. And it's up to you. And you have the money, which is usually the hard part, getting that. but you got it. And now it's up to you to see the building project through. What are you going to do? Well, you'll probably have to call what is known as an architect, especially if it's a big project. And you know what that architect's going to do for you? You'll have to pay them. But what they'll do for you is they'll allow you to see what the end of your project is going to look like before you have to start. Isn't that glorious? So you're not guessing. You know, well, we need, let's say it's a school project. We need 5 classrooms, we need a cafeteria, we need a gymnasium, and on and on and on. You know those things about your project. But you don't know what it's going to look like until the architect comes, then he is able to show you, or she. It's interesting that they can show you the end even before the beginning. I bet most hikers in our beautiful state that decide that they're going to summit these 14,000-foot peaks don't go up there unless they've first gotten online and looked at it and seen pictures of it. Or else why would they even want to go? They say, that looks beautiful. I'm going to go there. They look at the end before they even start off at the beginning. If you're moving to a new city, I hope you don't go on your move without at least, you know, looking at it first to see what it is, because it's going to be a lot of work to pack the house and the moving truck. There's going to be lots of suffering and struggle in order to get to your destination. So I hope you like where you're going and you checked it out first. I don't know if there's ever been a soldier who's gone into a deployment that hasn't first thought of what it will be like the day they come home. Or an Olympian who competes and trains for all those hours. I bet you're, if you're not watching the Olympics right now, they're going on. An Olympian that trains all those hours and hasn't already pictured themselves the one on the pedestal receiving the medal. It's the goal, right? It's the end. It's the finish line that inspires and empowers the journey. It gives us motivation and it gives us strength and perseverance and purpose and great help in the enduring struggle of whatever it is to get to see the goal or the end before we have to start the suffering. It's a powerful reality in our life. And believe it or not, it's no different in our faith. In fact, many aren't aware of this, but that's what's happening in our gospel lesson. Kids, the reason that Moses' face is shining is because he's pointing to Jesus, who is the light of the world, who's shining. If you didn't catch it in the gospel reading. The gospel reading, the transfiguration, is doing the same kind of thing. It's only been 6 days in the story since Jesus told his disciples that he was going to have to be crucified and die. And do you remember what happened when Jesus told his disciples that that was coming? Peter rebuked him and said, "No way, Lord." And that was the text where Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter, that he does not have in mind the things of God but the things of man. It's only been 6 days before the transfiguration. And now he takes him up on the mountain. And he says, he's going to prepare them. We think the preparation for his crucifixion and the sufferings of the cross, even for his disciples, is only that Jesus says this is going to happen. But that's not it. The transfiguration is also a part of that preparatory reality for them. When Jesus shines, like the text tells us, it's verse 2 of Matthew 17, he transfigured, he changed figure, he metamorphosized before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. See, we'll often say, and it's true, that Jesus was revealing his divine nature, right? And even the Father speaks from the cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son." But there's more going on. There's more happening here. He is revealing his divinity, but consider that he's also preparing his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and yes, brothers and sisters, you and me as well. He's giving us all, even us through the scriptures, a glimpse of the victory. A glimpse of the win. Martin Luther, in his comments on the Transfiguration, tell us that the Transfiguration is for you and for me. The disciples are going to face, and we know the stories, right? We're about to enter into Lent on Wednesday. The stories of the cross and the suffering that the disciples had to face. They're about to go into all of this stuff, but Jesus wouldn't let them go in without showing them the end before they saw the beginning of those sufferings. Him shining in glory. This is a picture of the resurrection. He's shining in our text, not just for himself, but for them and for us. And I think this is why Peter wants to build the tents. I mean, this is such an odd thing in the scripture, isn't it? When he says, "Hey, Lord, if you want to, I'll build 3 tents. And everybody's scratching their head going, "Wow, what's the point of the tents?" I think this is it. He's just like us. See, when the good times in life come, when things are going along pretty good, when we're having easy days, when there isn't a lot of problems, that's right where we want to stay. We want to tent up right there, and we want life to be easy. But then at times it's not. At times the harder days come, the more difficult things happen. God forbid, even the tragedies come along. And we say, "Can't we just build 3 tents? Can't we just dwell right here in the good?" This is the glory moment for Peter and James and John. I mean, Moses and Elijah are there. And Jesus. And this is a big deal. It's a little picture of heaven. Jesus shining like the sun, his clothes white as light. And then here come 2 people that we thought were dead. And Peter wants to just camp out there. But these moments, these good moments that God blesses us with, and it happens to us all the time when we have good things, doesn't it? Even in our lives. When we have those seasons where things are going along okay, those are not given that we might tent up in them and sit there for our own benefit, but they're given for our strength. That we might go into the world with what Jesus has for us to do, which is to share his message of life, to share the gospel of the forgiveness of sins with others because they don't know they have it and they're living in guilt and shame when they don't have to be. Because Jesus died for them. I mean, this is an incredible moment because Moses isn't dead. Huh? Elijah isn't dead. They show up at the Transfiguration with Jesus. And this is encouragement for us. This is the moment that inspires us to go through the rest of our life. And whether that's a pretty easy going or whether that's a struggle, either one, this is the encouragement. This is the goal. This is the end before the suffering in order that we might persevere in his strength and know that just like Moses and Elijah are standing there alive and well with Jesus, so will be the people who you and I miss, who died in the faith. There they'll stand, alive and well. This is the beautiful, beautiful picture of what Jesus gives us. And as he shines that day to show us that he is God, and that we can trust him, and that what he said will come to pass will come to pass in your life and in mine. And he's told us this morning clearly that all our sins are forgiven. Clearly that he'll never leave us. He'll never go away. He'll always be with us. And that anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And that there's no fear in life and death. And he's given us this great encouragement of the transfiguration so that we, like his disciples, might have to go through some really hard things. It's possible. I pray not for you. But if we do, we've seen this glory of the transfigured Jesus Christ. And its preparation is a powerful preparation. You know, one of the things that people fear the most, and all of us, is death. We're afraid of it. And we know that it has our number, and that even though it might not be here for us today, that one of these days, it's going to come. And so often we're afraid of death. When I was at the seminary, one of my profs used to tell us, you know when you lay down in bed at night, and in order to fall asleep, and this is a challenge for some of us, me, you have to kind of empty your mind a little bit and stop worrying about all the stuff and just kind of let it all go, right, so that you can rest. And my seminary prof used to say, you know, when you do that, it's practice. It's practice to die. Because for Christians, for believers, death is nothing more than a holy nap. Because it's not the end. Jesus is showing us that this morning on the Mount of Transfiguration. He shows us that even brighter in the resurrection. That when we lay down and we let those things go just for the night, and we sleep, and then morning comes. That death, how does Paul put it in Corinthians, right? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? Why? Because the one who's shining this morning has conquered it. Thus saith the Lord. He wins. And because he wins and he died for you, you win. I win. We didn't earn it, but it's ours. It's beautiful and it's amazing. And Moses and Elijah prove it by being there with Jesus that day. They had died long ago. And yet there they were. So we don't, as we go through those struggles, we don't focus on the struggle, right? But we focus on what Christ has given us before we went in. The glorious hope of his shining, that he is truly the Son of God. We focus on that. Not the anxieties, not the depression, not the cross, but the resurrection. Because always, there'll be struggles, there'll be pain, there'll be even death, but their life always wins in Jesus Christ. And one day we'll see it come to pass. And we'll see that Christ was telling us the truth when he shows up. Just like he did that day on the mountain, when he shows up to us. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, our projects in the world, they're not guaranteed. We may start out to build without counting the cost, and we might not finish. We may think that we'll summit the mountain, but we won't make it to the top. We might enter into the battle just to never come home, and we might compete in the competition and never stand on the pedestal. But one thing is for sure, that on that day, every knee is going to be on the ground, and every tongue is going to be saying, Jesus is Lord. Blessing and glory, honor and power be unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, as you showed your Son to be both God and man in the brightness of his transfiguration, give to us holy fear as we hear the proclamation of his salvation and trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the Church, uphold all Christians in the confession of their Lord's name and the faithful reception of his word and blessed sacraments. Give wisdom to our Lutheran Church, especially to her secretary and to the men nominated to serve as president and first vice presidents. Give them discernment and equip them for their task that serves the Church. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless the families of your Church, the parents, that they would teach the faith to their children, and that forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households. Remember all expectant mothers, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. And Lord, bless those who are single. Show them the unique and beautiful vocation that you've given to them, Lord, and the young people. Bless them as well as they adhere to their school, work, to their sports, and to all the things they do. Keep them safe, dear Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, as you reign over all peoples, you entrust earthly authority to the rulers of our world. And still in our president and all who make, administer, and judge our laws, a right fear of you, that they would establish justice and equity in the land, that they would not rule for selfish gain or greed, or for some other agenda, but Lord, that they would faithfully serve you and the people of their land. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you sent your Son Jesus as the great physician of the body and the soul. By his touch, he banished the fear of his disciples. Sickness, ailments of all kinds, they fled. Cleansing was brought by his hand and his word and his touch. Lord, bless all who need this comfort today. And especially we name before you in the prayers of our church, Lindsay McGlone and son Carter Lee, Ray Lynn Jardin, Lucy Walsh and family. Lord, we lift up Devin to you as well, and Jim Holman, Wendy Vest, Teresa O'Haver, and Helen Almdale, Lauren O'Howe, Jeff Otto Pollock, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sunny Rumler, and Lord, we also remember today Audra Rendon as she's in the hospital. We remember the family of Betty Patton and her friends, that you'd give them comfort as well. And Lord, continue with the Hermanson family and give them your comfort and peace. Lord, that they may all have peace in the midst of fear and wholeness in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have poured out the blood of your Son from the cup of the new covenant because he is sacrificed for us and feeds us from his altar. Grant us a place with saints and angels before his heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, grant that we who have heard the word of your Son, Jesus Christ, would reverently receive it and so live our lives gladly according to his way and not our own. Wherever he may lead us, Lord, help us to go. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. Lord, help us to turn to his glory and focus on it each and every day rather than our own suffering. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances that we may face of trial, temptation, or persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll enjoy some organist instrumental music as our offerings are collected and presented at this time. If you've been listening on the radio this morning, we thank you for joining us for our service. Wish you the Lord's blessings and his strength as he continues to be your strength and stay throughout each and every day. If you're gathered in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Some